explain why we would need a series, or take more than just one Sunday, but take a number of Sundays in a row to explain and help us with our mind. Our mind is what some preachers have called in the past our greatest battlefield. And according to what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, we can actually have victory in our mind. We can actually capture every thought into the obedience of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. And this is the important thing. If we want to have success in our Christian life, it begins with our thought life. It begins with our thought process. And how do we get to have success or victory in our thought life is when we become mighty through God. We can't do it on our own. We can try to discipline ourselves outwardly. Many times we can try to discipline ourselves and what others may see. But our thought process is something we need God's help with. Says to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Now, it says casting down imaginations. Here's the thought, is that just because a thought enters into your mind does not make that sin. Just like sometimes when you see something that you wish you had never seen, it's when you dwell on that thought or when you react to that thought and you just continue on, that's when it becomes a sin. That's why it says we need to cast down those imaginations. We need to cast down every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Anything that goes against, we know what God prefers and what God thinks is best for us, that is what we need to get rid of. And it says, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, later on in the series, we're going to be looking at that verse a little bit more, but that's just the kind of the jumping off point for this morning. You know, sometimes we've asked this question, and maybe you've been asked this before, what were you thinking? You ever been asked that before? Why in the world did you do that? Sometimes a parent will ask a child, why didn't you think? And some people, they just don't think when they talk. Sometimes they just don't think when they react to things. And our mind is something that it's something that we need help with. You think about it, how many times have you drawn a blank or had a senior moment? I don't know how many times people have told me, I'm having a senior moment. I've never used that excuse before, but I've heard it many times. Most of us probably wish we could get rid of some of our thoughts. That if we were honest and we were open, the things that go through our mind, yes, nobody else gets to see those but God. So we would like to think, no, I never have any type of bad thoughts. Well, I would like to think that you're probably lying, because unless I'm really unnormal or abnormal, there most people have thoughts they'd like to get rid of. By no means are we alone. The Apostle Paul struggles with this, and he describes it here in Romans chapter number 7. Now, we could take all day looking at Romans chapter 7, 14 through 25, but we're just going to read through it and make a couple comments about it. But in this, we see a struggle that happens between doing what's right, wanting to do what is right, but always ending up seeming to do those things you wish you wouldn't have. And you say, where does that come from? Remember, our mind has what we think is what we become many times. Let's look here at Romans chapter number 7. Let's look in verse 14. It says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Now, Paul is saying, look, that the law, the things that God wants is spiritually minded, but us, because of the flesh that we have, we are flesh is sold under sin. For that which I do allow not, he's saying those things I wish, I would not like to allow myself to do, for what I would, that do I not. He's saying those things that I wish I would do, those are things I do not. But what I hate, that do I. You know, sometimes we get so fed up and frustrated because we have such a desire spiritually, but our flesh is weak, and many times we give in to our flesh. And this is the struggle that the Apostle Paul is saying. He's not describing some new Christian. He's not describing some new believer. He's one of the greatest Christians to ever live. He's out and being open. This is a struggle he has. His flesh and his spiritual side, they battle constantly. If you're in a battle with your flesh and spiritual side, it is a normal thing, but we can have victory. Verse number 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, there's no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. He's desiring this, and he says, look, when I give in to the flesh, and when I do these things, it's my fleshly side doing it. For I know that in me, and that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And that is the truth. There is no good thing that dwells in our flesh. You know, there's nothing righteous about our flesh. For to will is present with me. And that's the idea of to want to do right is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. He's saying in himself, he cannot find the avenue, the way. That's why we need God's help. Verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not. Those things I wish I would be doing, those are the things I don't do. But the evil which I would not, that I do. He's saying those things that I wish that I would not do, I succumb to those at times. Verse 20, now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Verse 21, I find in a law that when I do good, evil is present with me. I don't know about you, but that's what the Bible's saying here, is that every time you begin to try to do what's right and try to begin to do what is good, you know what happens? You know there's something there that is fighting against you. When you get up to try to read your Bible, when you get up to pray, when you get up to give out a gospel tract, you know, there is something there that is telling you, no, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, and that is your flesh. Verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members. Now you see this next phrase, warring against the law of my mind. You know, our mind is such a valuable thing that we need to learn about and understand how we can have victory. And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And Paul just cries out, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And he's talking about how he has to deal with the flesh. And in verse 25, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, once again, the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He's saying he can have victory as he is serving the Lord with his mind and through his heart. Now, when we serve our flesh, that is when the problems we have. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help today. Lord, I pray that the importance of this series, Lord, begins even now in this introduction message or lesson. Lord, help us understand the importance of wanting to control our minds. Lord, use our minds and our thoughts to even glorify God. Lord, to seek to have victory in every area of our life, not just outwardly, but more importantly, inwardly. And as inwardly is taken care of, as we've learned, the outwardly will also be taken care of too. Speak to people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's a couple things to begin with. A doctor once said, the human brain is the most complex arrangement of matter in the universe. The most complex arrangement of matter in the universe. And next week, the lesson is about the fact that God created us. God created our brain. God created our thought patterns. And if God says we can have victory, if God says we can bring things into captivity, then praise the Lord. We can do that. He's the creator of it. The psychologist tells us the average person has 10,000 thoughts each day. Imagine that, 10,000 thoughts each day. In fact, we are told, regardless of a person's IQ, the average person has more information stored in his brain than that is contained in the National Library. Now, he said, that's amazing, because some people act like they don't know anything. But it's all about what you know. The human thought process remains a mystery to scientists and psychologists, but one thing is for sure, how you think will affect the directions of your life. Someone once said, the body manifests what the mind harbors. One man put it this way, a man is known by the company his mind keeps. And if we're really, truly honest, there's some things that we don't like about our thought life. There's some things we like to change. Some people are able to recognize that they're selfish and proud and covetous. And where does that come from? It comes from our thoughts. Others may feel like they worry too much. Men usually have a problem with their thoughts, while women sometimes hold on to bitterness and inside. Teenagers may struggle with anger and rebellion, while older folks may be more critical and judgmental. So you mean that's wrong? Yes, that's wrong. So now when I was sitting there and I had somebody that was in a different classroom walked around and says, Pastor, your classroom's getting kind of small. Pretty soon you're going to have nothing but a senior citizens class. I said, there's some ladies in your room, in this room, that would not like me said that. This is for a class that's like 30 and up. And she said, oh, okay. I said, well, I won't use your name who said that. So here in this thought process, some people can be with our thoughts. There's some thoughts that just don't need to be said. there's some thoughts that just need to be left out. And I said, yes, we need to get some more people in our class to try to replenish those that have went off to other classes. And our thoughts, you know, men at times says, well, you know what? I'm a man. God made me sexually, you know, gave me these sexual desires. These thoughts are not wrong. Ladies sometimes hold on to bitterness or jealousy, and they look at things and they're driven inside, and they just feel like, I had to suppress this, but I got to deal with it. I can't get rid of it. Older people sometimes are so critical, and they begin to be judgmental, that they don't think there's anything wrong. My grandmother's been really struggling the last year or two, and she's hard to even be around sometimes because of how judgmental and critical she is. And sometimes she likes to say, well, it must just be, whether it be dementia or things that she's going through. But many times she knows what she's saying, and she just wants to voice her opinion, doesn't feel like anybody's listening. So she's going to say it and say it again and louder till somebody is going to listen or they're going to change. You know, we need to be honest with ourselves. Our thoughts sometimes can be our besetting sin. And these are different targets that the devil tries to hit. But the question is, what are we doing about it? We often hide behind some type of deadly euthyism, saying it's just the way I am, or my father was the same way, or, I love this one, I'm too old to change. And you guys, a lot of you guys don't like that because that's the way you feel, and that's just not the truth. The Bible teaches us and tells us we can have victory, but where does the victory begin? The victory must begin in our thought life and with our minds. So we come to this question, why a series about the mind? Why do we have a series about the mind? We have, I think, four or five things written there this morning to help you understand this introductory lesson. Why in the world do we need to have a series about the mind? Say, Pastor, we all know that we all struggle with it, so we can have victory in it, how we can control our minds. And you know, I've heard people say, you're as a Christian, you're trying to brainwash individuals. And I look at it and I says, you know what? Our brains need to be washed. When we consider some of our thoughts that we have, we do need to have our brains washed a little bit. But not according to an individual, but according to what the Bible says. Why? The truth is, point number one, is because our behavior will change when our thinking changes. Our behavior will change when our thinking changes. The truth is, our behavior will change when our thinking changes. If you're stuck in a certain behavioral pattern, the question should be is, what's on your mind? If you're stuck with a critical attitude or bitterness, or you're stuck with a certain besetting sin, it's not, how do I change my circumstances? It's, what's been on my mind, and how can I change my mind into the thinking and transforming by the renewing of my mind, transforming my life into being what God wants me to be? The Book of Wisdom or Book of Proverbs plainly puts it, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And I don't know about you, but when I read that verse and I think about that verse, I meditate on that verse, there are some scary things. You know, what I think in my heart at times, if I don't bring that into captivity, if I don't capture that, if I don't cast down the imaginations, if I don't cast down the high things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God, the Word of God says the things that I'm going to think about is really, truly the person that I am. It's not the what I represent or what I show out into the world, but the person I truly am is those things that I think about. And that is scary, because the things I think about is not what I want to be. We must watch our thoughts, for they are for our actions. They are going to become our actions. A thought that dominates you inwardly will ultimately drive you outwardly. We must watch our thoughts, for they are the blueprints for our actions. They are what we're going to do and what we're going to become at some point in time. So, Pastor, the reason why we need to have a series about the mind is because if we want our behavior to change, it happens when our thinking changes. When we need to change our thinking and change our mind if we truly want to have some changes in our behavior. How many of us would like to have some of us change or have our mates change? All of us would. But it begins with our thought process. Second thing is, why is serious about the mind? Because we need God's power to help us change. We need God's power to help us change. You know, this is one of those things that we cannot do on our own. This is one of those things that the psychologist can't figure out our brains fully. The therapist can't figure it out. There are people who will spend money and money on drugs and seeing counselors and things like that, and they're not going to fix the issue and fix the problem. Only God and his power can fix that. See, certain thought patterns are totally, deeply ingrained into our mind. It is impossible to change unless the power of God changes them. Think about what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. In the reference here, he is talking about the members of the church at Corinth and the wicked lifestyle that they had had and the change that God made in their life. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, the Bible says, "Know ye not that the unrighteousness shall not inherit the earth of God?" It says, of God, kingdom of God. "But be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And that next phrase, "And such were some of you." I mean, this is the description of this church was like. And you say, boy, I'm glad I don't go to that church. You know what? If our minds were open, you know what? That's many times a lot of those things would be description of what our mind was. And we cannot do this in our minds have been tainted with sin. And this affects our behavior as believers. And Paul is reminding them that there is a change that can happen. Just like it changed outwardly in your life. Just like God changed certain things, there are certain things you can change inwardly. But we need the power of God. That's when that verse said we saw earlier. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. And we need God to help us to casting down of strongholds. We need God's help in the casting down of imaginations. We need God's help in the capturing the thoughts. When there's 10,000 thoughts that are whirling around our brains daily, we are going to need more than human willpower. We're going to need more than what we can to make things pure and God-honoring. We need to let the master be the master of our minds. We need a change that needs to take place, must happen inwardly, so that way the outwardly things will change too. Paul reminds us to the church of Ephesus, why don't you take your Bibles to Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3, he shows us the dependence of the work of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. Ephesians chapter number 3, verses 16 through 20. And we need to have a series about the mind because our behavior will change when our thinking changes, but also because we need God's power to help us change. Ephesians chapter number 3, verses 16 through 20, the Bible says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. We need the power of God. We need to be strengthened with the might of the inner man. We need to be strengthened with his Spirit, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness, with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now, what the Bible is saying here is that we must allow God to work in our hearts through his Spirit in verse number 16. That way the Christ can dwell in our hearts fully by faith, that we be rooted and grounded, meaning our minds and our thoughts would be grounded in Christ, that we may be able to comprehend the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and be able to understand and know the love of God. Because as we understand the love of God and know the love of God, this will pass all understanding, and we will be filled with the fullness of God. And here's the thought process here is, how are we going to have victory? It begins by having victory in our minds, but we need God's help. Next thing, why do we need a series about the mind? And here's another thing is, because everywhere we go and everything we see in our present culture is stimulating us to think the wrong thoughts. We had a prayer request today about our nation. And you know, the truth is, it is a very dark world we live in. And everything we see around our culture today, they're trying to stimulate us to think the wrong things. Why do we need to have a series about the mind? It's because the Word of God needs to present this to Christians and say, you can have victory. And maybe you don't have the bad thoughts when it comes to certain sins like a lot of the world may. But what about the victory that we need to have over bitterness? What about the victory that we need to have over a lack of faith? What about the victory about the way we need to treat one another? Much less the victories of, being rebellious and being angry and maybe impure thoughts. You know, the Bible's saying you can have victory. You can have success. And the culture today is pointing us and is trying to stimulate the wrong thoughts. The media today is trying to get you to think anti-God, anti-Christian. The media and the world today, our friends, the TV, everything in the world today is pointing to or stimulating wrong type of thoughts. And that's why we need to be saying, you know what? I need to look in the book. I need to claim the promises of God. Are you willing to let God control your thoughts? If he doesn't, something will control your thoughts. Something will be on your mind. Too many of us sit back in life and let our environment influence us. The Turks had an old proverb that says, "The devil tempts all other men, but the idle man tempts the devil." And here's the thought, is that when we leave our brains or our minds idle without filling them with the words of God, without filling them with the things that God has given us to live our lives by, then they will be, our thoughts will be controlled by something. Look what the Bible says in Philippians 4, 6, and 9. It says, Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And what the Bible is saying is that we can allow the peace of God, and that peace of God is something that many people do not have, even believers, shall keep your minds and hearts through Christ Jesus. So what are we supposed to think about? Well, the Bible gives us this. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, here's the thought. What am I supposed to think about then, preacher? Well, the Bible tells us a list of things there. Say, what is that? You know, what in this world is good and pure? What in this world is lovely? What in this world is of a good report and honest? You know, the Bible is. The Word of God is. Jesus Christ is. And if we want to have victory, if we really want to cast down the imaginations, if we really want our behavior to change, it begins with our thinking process. And some people will listen to this message and say, "Pastor, this is crazy. This is ridiculous. I can't have victory." The truth is, God says, and God created your mind. God created you yourself. He knows everything, the inner workings of your mind, better than any psychologist would. And he says, look, you can have victory. And here's your victory, is when you have your mind on the right things. I enjoyed this. I don't know if you'll enjoy it or not, but a preacher one time during a message gave an illustration. It was called The Stranger. I think I read it a few years ago, and it's lengthy, but I think you'll get the point. And most of you will be able to figure out what it is before the end. It says, and this was a message that was entitled The Guide to the Mind. It says, a few months before I was born, my dad met a stranger. This is not me, so this is my dad met a stranger who was new to our small Tennessee town. From the beginning, Dad was fascinating with this enchanting newcomer and soon invited him to live with our family. The stranger was quickly accepted and was around to welcome me into the world a few months later. As I grew up, I never questioned his place in our family. In my young mind, each member had a special niche. My brother Bill, 5 years my senior, was my example. Fran, my younger sister, gave me an opportunity to play big brother and develop the art of teasing. My parents were complimentary instructors. Mom taught me to love the Word of God. Dad taught me to obey it. But the stranger was our storyteller. He could weave the most fascinating tales. Adventures, mysteries, and comedies were daily conversations. He could hold our whole family spellbound for hours each evening. If I wanted to know about politics, history, or science, he knew it all. He knew about the past, understood the present, and seemingly could predict the future. The pictures he could draw were so lifelike that I would often laugh or cry as I watched. He was like a friend to the whole family. He took Dad, Bill, and me to our first Major League Baseball game. He was always encouraging us to see the movies. He even needed to make arrangements to introduce us to several movie stars. My brother and I were deeply impressed by John Wayne in particular. The stranger was an instant talker. Dad didn't seem to mind, but sometimes Mom would quietly get up while the rest of us were enthralled with one of his stories of a faraway place, go to her room, read her Bible, and pray. I wonder now if she ever prayed that the stranger would leave. You see, my dad ruled our household with certain moral convictions, but this stranger never felt obligated to honor them. Profanity, for example, was not allowed in our house, not from us, from our friends, or adults. If someone would use it, Dad would ask them to leave. But our longtime visitor, however, used occasional four-letter words that burned my ears and made Dad squirm, but to my knowledge, the stranger was never confronted. My dad was a teetotaler, who didn't permit alcohol in his home, not even for cooking, but the stranger felt like it needed exposure and enlightened us to the other ways of life. He offered us beer and other alcoholic beverages often. He made cigarettes look tasty, cigars manly, and pipes distinguished. He talked freely, and probably too freely, about sex. His comments were sometimes blatant, sometimes suggestive, and generally embarrassing. I know that my early concepts of the man-woman relationship were influenced by this stranger. As I look back, I believed it was the grace of God that the stranger did not influence us more. Time after time, he opposed the values of my parents, yet he was seldom rebuked and was never asked to leave. He says more than 30 years later, he has passed since the stranger moved in with the young family on Morningside Drive in Tennessee. He is not nearly so intriguing to my dad as he was his early years, but if I were to walk in my parents' den today, you would still see him sitting over in the corner, waiting for someone to listen to him talk and watch him draw his pictures. His name was the TV. But it's amazing what we allow into our house through our TV and through our music that we would never allow an individual to do. Say, Pastor, why is that such a big deal? We need to be careful. Am I condemning TV? I'm not condemning TV. I'm condemning some things that are on TV. And there are things that we should not let our kids and even ourselves be able to develop our thought process when it comes to men and women and our choices of things and the vices of this world that makes things look wrong. Our thought lives will be challenged. So why do we need a series about our mind? It's because we're being stimulated to think the wrong way. We need someone that's going to stand up and preach the word of God and say, God says we can think about these things. And if there's something that's causing us not to think about these things, we need to cast down that imagination. We need to bring that into captivity. We need to, anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, we need to get rid of it. Why a series about the mind? I think this is the fourth one, because we're supposed to be witnesses. Because we are supposed to be witnesses. And we need to move quickly. If the thoughts of your heart became a reality in your actions, what kind of person would you be? If the thoughts in your heart became a reality in your actions, what kind of person would you be? God tells us that we are headed in that direction with our thoughts. Our desires will become our destination. God will, for every Christian to be Christ-like, we must be willing to let the world see Christ in us. And this is a wonderful passage of Scripture. Obviously, as an introduction lesson, that we're not going to be able to go through all of it. But it says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, peculiar people, that should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God has a desire that we show forth the praises of God. And if we're supposed to be a witness, that's why we need to have a series about our mind, because we need our mind to change so our behavior will change. As our behavior changes, then we can be a witness, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy. But now have attained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against your soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, you say, what does that have to do at all with your mind? Well, let's put it this way. If we've established this fact, what's in our mind is the way that we're headed. If an unsaved person could see your mind right now, would they be led to Jesus Christ? If an unsaved person could see what's in your mind in the last week, would they be led to Jesus Christ? You know, because this is what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be a chosen generation, a priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people. They're supposed to see our good works. They're supposed to glorify God in the day of visitation. And if an unsaved person could see what you've been thinking about, would it lead people to Jesus Christ? And the truth is, more often than not, whatever is on our mind will soon become your manner. And while the world can't read your mind, the Bible says that ye are epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of heart. And here's the thing, is that you are sometimes the only Bible that man will read and man will see. What is it that we are becoming? What is in our thoughts? God desires that our entire lives be wholly surrendered to him. And that's when it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It begins and ends with how our mind works. So how is your mind working today? Last but not least, and once again, we are trying to move quickly. We could probably take a number of lessons for this just introduction. Why a series about a mind? It's because God uses clean vessels. You know, why did God send the flood? It says, and that every imagination and thoughts of his heart was on evil continually. 1 Chronicles 28:9, David understood the mind. He understood the importance of that. He was talking to his son, thou Solomon, my son, know the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. Why do we need to serve God with a willing mind? Because God uses clean vessels. He doesn't use dirty vessels. And he says, for the Lord searches all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. I don't know about you, but I like using clean things, don't you? I mean, don't you like that when there's a fork at Golden Crown, you're going through and you find a dirty one, you're usually not going to just clean it off. You're going to try to find a clean fork or a clean plate. You're going to try to find something to clean. We more than likely, all your clothes that you're wearing today are clean. I mean, when you take a shower, you put on clean clothes. It's because we like to use clean things. We have dishwashers in our house. And if we don't have electronic ones, we have our kids to be dishwashers. We have wash machines. We have things. Why are all these things? It's because we want to use clean things. And when it comes to our mind, we need to understand God uses clean vessels and that we can, and he understands all our imaginations of the thoughts. We cannot conceal our thoughts from God. We are pretty good at masking them maybe to others. But Ezekiel put it this way, for I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. God sees every single one of them. And you say, Pastor, why the big deal? It's because we should care that God can see them. We know that some of you have to step out for ministry purposes, and we'll finish up here in just a second. The Bible says that we should care that God can see our thoughts. Why should we care? It's because God uses clean vessels. We hear a lot about water pollution, air pollution, noise pollution, and sight pollution. We're worried about the ozone layer or the Earth's atmosphere being destroyed because of all the harmful chemicals that are coming from our houses and automobiles. But I think it's time we start getting concerned about mind pollution. Long before there were environmentalists and ecologists demanding to be heard, filthy things were going into our brain and leading us to faulty behavior. If we don't get our brain cleaned or brainwashed, we will wake up from a behavior wreck tomorrow. I just want to encourage you. Positionally, we are saved and on our way to heaven if you're a Christian this morning. But practically, we're still on a battle every day dealing with the pollutions of this old world that we're living in and the flesh that we're living in. God says you can have victory in your thought process, in your thought life. Say, I don't know how to do that. Well, that's where the series is going to come from. How we can begin to think like a Christian should think. Why is it important? Because the way we think is what we're going to become like, the Bible tells us. Why is it important then? It's because the world's trying to stimulate us the wrong way. Why is it important? Because we're supposed to be being a witness. But also, God knows our thoughts. It's important what we think because God sees and knows our thoughts. Every one of them. He understands all the imaginations of our thought. Ezekiel said he knows every one of them. You know, as the children of God, we are not exempt from allowing the filth of sin to stain our lives. That's why we need to have our brains cleaned, or you might not like this phrase, washed. We need to have our brain washed according to the Bible. We need to see things through the biblical worldview. How much longer are we going to let our minds be filled with empty and wicked thoughts? Remember, if God is not in control of your mind, you're going to lose control of your manners. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer.